welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. My librarian co-host is...
Hi, I'm Sharon.
And we are super excited today because our guest is by far writing about one of our favorite movies collectively, right, Sharon?
Absolute favorite, like can quote it. Watched it many, many times. Yes.
And the title is a wonderful quote from the movie. So before I spill the tea on who it is, I'll let him spill the tea himself. Please introduce yourself and tell us about this book.
Well, Sharon and Jessica, thank you so much for having me. My name is Clark Collis, and I am the author of a book about the making of Shaun of the Dead called, and let me just make sure I'm getting this right, You've Got Red on You, How Shaun of the Dead Came Alive, or came to life. I can't remember which one it is now, but you get the gist of the title anyway.
Was brought to life. There we are.
Brought to life. There you go. Sorry, I've literally been in a room for the last year and a half writing it. So you would think that I would remember the title, but You've Got Red on You is the key part, which yes, it is a quote from the film, which is said several times in the film. So there you go.
I'm so excited. So just a little bit of background. As I mentioned, Sharon and I are huge Shaun of the Dead fans, and just the Cornetto movies in general. We quote them all the time. When Sharon and I began working together, it was one of the things we bonded over. Sharon's a huge zombie fan.
Guilty as charged, yes.
And this book is just super delightful. So when did you start writing it? Where did the whole idea for this book come from?
It came to me in a few different ways, really. I mean, I love Shaun of the Dead and I love the Cornetto trilogy. And I think if you're going to write about something, then in most cases, it helps to love the subject. Obviously, if you're writing about Stalin, that's not the case. But generally speaking, with regards to, you know, films or TV, it really helps if you like it, because you're going to end up watching it quite a lot, apart from anything else. But I have a strange personal connection to the film, in as much as I grew up in a small village, really, or small-sized town called Wells in Somerset, which is also where the director of Shaun of the Dead, Edgar Wright, also grew up. He's a few years younger than me. I didn't know him when I was at school, although we both worked at different times at the same tourist attraction called Wookie Hole Caves, which was a bunch of limestone caves, essentially. And I worked by the caves, and Edgar worked in the parking lot. And I remember him saying to me once that if anyone, he was actually looking forward to someone saying that Edgar Wright, in a review, that Edgar Wright couldn't direct, he was such a bad director, he couldn't direct traffic, because he would call that reviewer up and say, well, actually, the summer I spent directing traffic in the car park of Wookie Hole Caves proves you wrong, sir.
That's like a punchline that while you're doing that job, it's in the back of your head and you're like, I can't wait to actually say this to someone.
I think that's true, because Edgar would have been a teenager when he was working in the car park. And he made his first film, A Fistful of Fingers, just a couple of years afterwards. So, you know, and I was unaware of Edgar, but then I was working at a film magazine in the mid-90s when I guess we probably got faxed a press release, as happened at the time, saying that some kid had made this comedy western in Wells. And I was so intrigued, because I came from Wells, that I sent someone off to interview Edgar. And so Edgar was always on my radar, really, since the mid-90s. And then he directed this wonderful sitcom called Spaced, which in the traditional British fashion ran for 2 seasons of 7 episodes each, I think. And that was the show where he worked for the first time with Simon Pegg. I mean, he'd worked with Simon before, but he worked with Simon and he worked with Nick Frost, both of whom would appear in Shaun of the Dead. And shortly after Spaced, or a few years after Spaced, was when he made Shaun of the Dead, and then Hot Fuzz, which he filmed in Wells, and then, of course, The World's End. And so by that point, I mean, I made it my business to interview Edgar and Simon and Nick over time. And then a few years ago, I probably should have said at the start that I'm a senior writer at Entertainment Weekly magazine, is my day job. And they asked me to do an oral history of Shaun of the Dead. So I interviewed, I interviewed Edgar and Simon and Nick and their producer, Naira Park, who's kind of the sort of fifth Beatle of the operation, I think is or even the fourth Beatle, really, of the operation, more accurately. And I got a couple of quotes from Bill Nighy, who appears in Shaun of the Dead. So a couple of years ago, when I was looking for something, when I was thinking about writing a book, I'm like, well, I've kind of done half the work here. And so I set about, you know, writing Shaun of the Dead. And about 3 months later, realized that I'd actually only done about 2% of the work. But by that point, it was too late. My lazy self was so deep into the project that I couldn't stop.
So that explains, I was, you know, curious about your involvement and how you sort of, you know, got into it. But so as far as your stories that you tell in the book, you really get into what my favorite part was, just like the stories behind the casting, the stories of how everybody kind of knew each other and got to work with each other. I just loved, as a fan of the movie, getting to hear all that backstory. And do you have any favorite sort of tidbits that you'd like to share from, you know, the casting and the just the backstories?
Well, it's quite, I mean, the great story that I uncovered when I did the oral history originally was that, I mean, essentially, no one's very famous in Shaun of the Dead. I mean, people became famous after Shaun of the Dead. But it was, you know, I mean, people around the world wouldn't have known who Simon Pegg was, and certainly not Nick Frost, who until very, you know, very shortly before the shoot was still working as a waiter, basically.
I thought that was interesting, that he really had no acting chops at all.
Not at all. I mean, people said, like, his friends thought he was very funny, and his friends happened to be, you know, stand-up comedians. But no, Nick had very little experience except being a waiter, being a very entertaining waiter, which, as it turns out, was perfect experience to become an actor. It's almost like you shouldn't bother going to drama school. You should become a waiter, basically. Seem to be, although I guess most people go to drama school and then become waiters, so they get a full education. But yeah, the casting process was really interesting. It was, the production company was Working Title in Britain, and they had success with a string of Richard Curtis movies. So 4 Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, Love Actually. And to some degree, they had a formula, which was pair Hugh Grant with a big American female star, essentially. So in 4 Weddings, you had Andy McDowell, Notting Hill, you had Julia Roberts, and then Love Actually, you've got, you know, quite a lot of famous people in there. But with, and so they were keen to sort of, the phrase is, they wanted to cast up. Edgar wanted, Simon was always gonna be the lead, but they were very keen, Simon and Edgar were very keen on Nick being the, the other male lead. But they were like, well, what about some of the other roles? Can't we cast up? Can't we get more famous people? Edgar did have a meeting with Kate Winslet about playing Sean's girlfriend in the film, but that didn't really get anywhere. And Edgar, as he says in the book, was quite happy about that. He loves Kate Winslet, but felt that then it would have become like a Kate Winslet movie, essentially, rather than, a horror comedy that people could discover on those terms. But briefly, So they sent the script to Helen Mirren, who obviously, I mean, I don't think she'd won the, she hadn't won the Oscar for The Queen at that point, but certainly in Britain, like Helen Mirren has been a huge star since the early 70s, and someone with a great deal of sort of cachet and just a great actress generally. And Edgar said that they got a note back saying that Helen Mirren was not interested in playing the role of Sean's mom, but would only appear in the film if she could play Ed, who is the role played by Nick Frost, who's Sean's sort of layabout minor drug dealer friend. And she said, I want to play that role because that's the funny role. And it was interesting because Edgar was like, and everyone was like, well, she's right. That's, that is kind of the funny role. But they weren't about to cast, you know, a venerable, you know, British acting dame in that role, which anyway, they wanted Nick to play in the, but that was kind of interesting. They named characters after the people that they planned on casting in the film. So the role of David, which was eventually taken by Dylan Moran, was called David because they originally planned on having a British comedian and actor called David Walliams play the part. And David
Little
Walliams.
Britain. Yes, we got big Little thing. Britain fans. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the thing, that the David Walliams and Matt Lucas had worked with Edgar very, very early in Edgar's career. And were just shooting the first season of Little Britain. So Edgar couldn't do it. So David couldn't do it. Although Edgar was saying that he was like, if David reads this book, he is going to be so annoyed that there was a role written for him that he didn't be annoyed to remember that.
One of the things that I thought was fun was you talk a little bit about how they came up with the title. And I was just sort of talking about this with Sharon earlier today, because when I first saw the poster for it, you know, like this movie, I believe in the States, it came out towards the end of the summer, which
used to be considered
the dumping grounds for movies. I actually find some of my favorite movies come out around that time. But I remember seeing this poster and it said Shaun of the Dead. And I was like, really? What? And this is me being a huge fan of horror comedy. Like, you talk a lot about Evil Dead. Mm. I am a massive fan of Evil Dead. And
there are references to Evil Dead. In
yeah.
Shaun of the Dead.
Like, one of the characters, Ash is going to be out today. Yes, exactly. But then some friends of mine who I had a lot of respect for their movie taste started talking it up, and I went to see it in the theater. And it just blew up. So it was very funny to me that other people had the reaction of, that's really what you're calling it. But I think it works better than Tea Time of the Dead.
Yes. Yeah. What I'm always reminded of really is that the Beatles is a terrible name. I mean, it's a bad pun. It's, you know, it's B-E-A-T instead of B-E-E, but no one thinks that anymore because it's the Beatles, you know? And I think the same with Shaun of the Dead. I can clearly remember hearing the title, you know, and realizing what it was and thinking, well, that sounds awful. That just sounds like the kind of, you know, I mean, not that I have anything against the scary movies, but that kind of thing, like a sort of, you know, airplane knockoff kind of zombie film. You're right. It was originally going to be called Tea Time of the Dead. And I think they pitched that to a certain degree. And then they came up with Shaun of the Dead, and there might be some listeners unaware of where that comes from, that one of the most famous zombie movies of all time is called Dawn of the Dead. And so Shaun of the Dead is a pun on that. And I was talking to Simon, and Simon was explaining that there was a point where they thought maybe it would be S-E-A-N of the Dead, but then that would read, a lot of people would read that as Scene of the Dead, and then maybe it would be S-H-A-W-N, but that seemed too on the nose. So they settled on S-H-A-U-N of the Dead. But I think, I don't know if this is in the book, but I think Edgar has said that's the worst joke in the film. And I think he's right, to be honest with you, because it does make you think it's going to be one kind of film. And it was a problem, I think, with when they were trying to, I mean, they had a lot of trouble finding money for the film. And I think one of the problems was that people couldn't, I think people would hear the title and not like it, or hear the title and read the script And, you know, the two things wouldn't quite go together. One story that is in the book is in 2001, when they'd finished the script, Edgar was walking through London and bumped into Ricky Gervais, who I don't think, maybe he'd just done The Office that summer, but Ricky Gervais had appeared in Space, the sitcom that Edgar and Simon and Nick did before Sean. And Edgar told me that they went for a drink at the Groucho Club, which is a sort of, you know, media entertainment private members club in London. And Ricky said, what have you been up to? And Edgar said, well, me and Simon and I have been writing a script. And he said, Ricky asked what the script was called. Edgar said, well, it's a zombie movie and it's called Shaun of the Dead. And Ricky Gervais said, no, but seriously, what's it called? And he just couldn't believe that anybody would call something that. But, you know, it worked out in the end. And I think now people say Shaun of the Dead and they don't even think about where it's from. And of course, I mean, subsequently, there's been Juan of the Dead, which is a Cuban version or a Cuban sort of horror comedy riff on Dawn of the Dead. So it's kind of become one of those. I mean, obviously, Dawn of the Dead was the original, but it's become one of those titles like, you know, Once Upon a Time in dot, 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 that I think people now feel just, you know, free to use of the dead, like in that fashion.
And you'd mentioned, you know, the original inspiration, Dawn of the Dead. And I loved how in your book, you get into the whole George Romero connection and right. How important his approval and his opinion actually was to Edgar and Simon. And, you know, could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, George Romero directed Night of the Living Dead in the late 60s. And Night of the Living Dead is the film that really invented the zombie genre. Very rarely, I think, certainly in film, could you point to somebody and say, they invented this. But he did invent this with his, you know, with his collaborators on that film, and then went on to make, you know, five or six other zombie movies, including Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. And that original zombie trilogy really, really inspired Edgar and Simon. And it's interesting because people talk about Shaun of the Dead as being a horror parody movie. And Edgar and Simon have always been very adamant that it is not a horror parody or a zombie parody. It's a parody of those Richard Curtis London romantic comedies, which I talked about earlier. And there is an irony that Working Title produced both those films and Shaun of the Dead. They're taking the piss out of Four Weddings and a Funeral. They are making a zombie movie, is what they're doing. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, obviously there is some sort of humor to be found in you know, placing a zombie movie in a London pub, whereas Romero, you know, often, or at least set part of his films in you know, the kind of places you would expect these kind of horror movies to be set. So it's in a TV studio or it's a bunch of people in a bunker and somewhere trying to, you know, solve the zombie virus. Shaun is not trying to solve the zombie virus. Shaun is trying to last the night in a pub, you know, with zombies around and have a couple of drinks while he's doing so. But no, Edgar and Simon were very, you know, very keen to follow the rules of the zombie movie as set down by George Romero. And one of the rules for example, is that, you know, people die and they come back as zombies, but there's usually, you know, quite a long period, maybe an hour or so. It takes an hour or so for the zombies to get up again, you know. I mean, not always, but, and I know that when Simon spoke with George initially after George had seen the film, Simon was very apologetic because in the film, Shaun's mum dies and then gets up almost immediately in really what is the most terrifying moment of the film. He was very, very apologetic because they set up the screening for George Romero and then George called both Edgar and Simon. And, you know, Simon was like, I'm very, very sorry because I know we had Shaun's mother get up too early, you know, too quickly. And he said, George was like, I really wouldn't worry too much about that. You know, I loved the movie. It was a blast.
Plus the fact that her name was Barbara. And they right. used that classic quote, you know, like yeah. this is like one of the wonderful things about this movie was how relatable it was as far as a movie about zombies. I think this is why so many of us love it so much, is that, you know, we're like you said, you know, they're like, I think the most of the majority of us would be like, okay, what am I supposed to do? There are just so many fun bits in there where, and there's that bit where Ed gets on the phone and he goes, "We're coming to get you, Barbara," which is from Romero's first movie. So that was just a really fun Easter egg.
Well, of course, I mean, yeah, that's absolutely right. And you're absolutely right that, I mean, I think part of the success of the film is definitely that, you know, most people, many people within like a sort of, you know, people between the ages of 20 and 60, you know, in the film, Simon Pegg, one of the big jokes of the film is that there's a sequence where it's a long shot where Simon Pegg gets up, goes to the shop and comes back. And then later in the film, he does exactly the same thing. But this time, the zombie apocalypse has happened and there are zombies everywhere. But Simon's character does not notice this because he is so hungover. And, you know, I mean, I think most people have, even just if it's once or twice, and in my case, dozens of times probably, have woken up hungover on a Sunday morning and staggered to what I would call the local newsagent, or, you know, local deli or whatever, to get the paper, to get something, whether it's a can of soda or whatever, in the probably vain hope that any of this is going to make you feel better, and then retreated back to your house. Yeah, a lot of it, I mean, a lot of the film, a lot of the film screenplay came from things that actually happened to Edgar and Simon. Edgar, one weekend, Edgar's girlfriend had gone away for the weekend, and his girlfriend begged him not to stay up playing a video game for 48 hours, which he then exactly did. And then on the Sunday morning, when he finished the video game, you know, really did walk down to this local shop, not hungover, I don't think, but certainly in a state of some sort of mental disarray, having shot zombies for 48 hours straight on his TV. And that's kind of like, that's what you see in the film, ultimately. And a lot of stuff comes from that. I mean, Edgar's described the film as sort of his and Simon's apology for being bad boyfriends to the, you know, at the time, I think their exes or whatever, which is interesting because if you read the book, Edgar's, the ex to whom Edgar is kind of apologizing actually worked on the film, which must have been a pretty interesting dynamic. But yeah, that's a lot of it comes from their real lives. And I think even now, you know, if you're 20 years old, you're a student or whatever, and you watch Shaun of the Dead, it's very easy. Or if you were like, you know, in your 20s and working in some, you know, crappy job and you watch that film, then you're like, yeah, I know, I can see some similarities between the film and my life.
Another interesting thing when, you know, we're talking about the whole Romero zombies and the types of zombies and how the timing of the movie, I believe, was right after the 28 days, or is it 28 days later? I forget. But yeah. With the fast zombies and then the remake of The Dawn of the Dead with the fast zombies. And there is like a moment in the movie where, you know, they use the word zombie and then get into an argument about it. And I thought that was so interesting because it was a choice, you know, to stay within that Romero zombie lore where they're the slow moving.
Yeah. You know. Well, yeah. And I think that's a good, yes, there is one point where I think when it finally dawns on Nick and Simon's characters what's going on, Nick's character, yeah, says, "Are there any zombies out there?" And Simon's like, "Don't say that," you know, which I think is cool because, I don't know, nowadays, I mean, zombies have become such a part of our culture that when you watch a zombie movie now and zombies turn up and everyone's like, "What could this possibly be?" And you're like, have you not noticed, you know, that there's now been 127 seasons of The Walking Dead and its two spin-offs? I think we now know what, you can't really ignore the fact that the zombies exist. But what's interesting is when they were writing the script in 2001, there hadn't really, I mean, zombie movies were never that popular. It was always a subgenre of horror that was always for like real horror nerds, I think you could say. And I'm including myself in that. I was a huge fan of the Romero movies when I was growing up. But it was really, you know, because like Dracula, I mean, Frankenstein's from a work of literature, and so is Dracula. And they have that, you know, patina of respectability. They've been in libraries for, you know, for 150 years at this point. You know, whereas zombie, and also particularly Dracula has that, oh, he's, you know, it's romantic and this and that. Whereas zombies, as we're all aware now, are just a bunch of shambling corpses. And there's nothing really sort of romantic or necessarily at the time literary about them.
There is a YA book, though, and Sharon is going to know which one I'm talking about, called I Kissed a Zombie and I Liked It.
Oh,
do you remember that one?
I would say like zombie YA literature got very popular in like the mid 2000, you know.
Mm-hmm.
2000. Yeah. There were so many zombie books. So yes, there is now definitely a literary subgenre as
well. That's interesting. I was, is there a lot of sort of my boyfriend or girlfriend is a zombie kind of stuff?
High school zombie stuff, zombie blondes. There were a couple that were definitely like that. And then the whole like contagion element, and that is right. A whole dystopian fiction, you know, thing. But yeah.
But just going back to when they were writing the script, they hadn't really, I mean, as I said, zombies were never that popular, and there hadn't been really a mainstream popular zombie movie since the mid 80s. And so Edgar and Simon, what they thought, you know, they thought they had this up their sleeve. They're like, one of the things we've got going for us is that this is sort of, you know, Earth, cinematic Earth that has been left fallow for 15 years. And ooh, won't people be surprised and amazed and hopefully thrilled by the return of the zombie movie? And it's one of my favorite parts of the book, actually, is Edgar saying how he got a call from Simon one day saying, have you heard about this Danny Boyle project called, this Danny Boyle movie called 28 Days Later? And Edgar saying, well, I've heard about it, but I don't know what it is. And Simon saying, well, it's a zombie movie. And Edgar recalling just spending the next 10 minutes banging his head against the desk and swearing and being like, we are so... You know, we are so, this is never gonna, you know, this has now doomed us, basically. But then ultimately, I mean, he saw the film and the film was very different. But it is interesting that I mean, they were shooting Shaun of the Dead at exactly the same time that Zack Snyder was directing. So Edgar was shooting Shaun of the Dead. Sorry, it's quite easy to get Shaun and Dawn mixed up. Edgar was shooting Shaun of the Dead at exactly the same time that Zack Snyder was shooting, you know, the much bigger budgeted Dawn of the Dead remake in Canada with running zombies. And Edgar said, but they were both, so Shaun of the Dead was produced by Working Title, but it was a Universal movie. I mean, the people ultimately paying for it were Universal in the States. And Universal was also making Dawn of the Dead. And Edgar tells this story about, you know, there'd be meetings at Universal in Los Angeles where they'd be going through the films that they were making, blah, 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 blah. Dawn of the Dead, fine, Zack Snyder's making that in Canada. And they'd go through about 50 movies and eventually get to Shaun of the Dead, and people would be like, wait, we're making a movie called Dawn of the Dead and we're making a movie called Shaun of the Dead. And in Britain, in fact, these films were released, you know, within a couple of weeks of each other. And then, of course, after that, you know, you have the whole zombie explosion with Walking Dead. And I can remember one year, like, watching the Super Bowl, and it seemed like every single, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but the Super Bowl is a popular American sports competition that occurs annually where commercials are showcased.
We're aware. I don't know if everybody in the international audience is, but we are aware.
But there seemed to be a year where every single commercial was just zombies. And you're like, wow, we have really, you know, cross some sort of line here, but yeah, it is interesting that I don't know. There must have been something in the air that a lot of people thought, well, let's make a zombie movie. You know? But it seems to have worked out well for pretty much everybody, I have to say.
You know, in general, it was really great. Just I'm a big fan of British comedians and British comedy, and just to see all the little, you know, how they're all kind of woven together either through Edgar or Shaun of the Dead, Spaced, and you get to, we just rewatched it this week. We just saw Shaun of the Dead just to get everything fresh. And it's amazing how many people you see. That, I mean, there's Matt Lucas and there's...
Martin Freeman, yes, yes.
Him. Yeah, he's in that one scene, and there's like Spaced reference, you know. It's just, I really enjoyed, you know, in the book how they all kind of were woven in there. And yeah,
well, and also that particular scene's a nice joke, but it's also, I think there is also an element of like they didn't have any money, but they didn't have any money, but they knew people, you know. And so in fact in the final sequel, one of the final sequences, when a bunch of zombies are being mown down, two of the zombies are people that would go on to make movies. One of them is Joe Cornish, who would make Attack the Block, which is a great movie. And one of the other movies is a gentleman called Corin Hardy, who Edgar knew when they were both teenagers. And just a couple of years ago, made The Nun, the Conjuring Universe movie, which was just an enormous hit. And Corin's now, he now works on a British TV show called Gangs of London. Yeah, it is interesting. One of the interesting things was, so I'm writing this book, and I know that basically, I mean, I hope it does well around the world, but I knew a lot of people would be reading it from England, and a lot of people would be reading it in America, but we're only going to put out one version. But it was that weird thing. So I'm like, well, do I have to explain what like Channel 4 is? Which is, you know, which, I mean, Britain, you know, we only have 5 terrestrial channels. And so it's that, so I thought that would be a big problem. It's because people in Britain don't need to have Channel 4 explained to them. People in America would. And there's a lot of instances like that. Do I need to explain Little Britain, for instance? But actually,
not to us.
As I was writing it, what I realized is the bigger thing was that I realized that I was writing this. Obviously, it's the same for a lot of nonfiction, but I was probably writing this for people who were like 50 or 60 years old, and people who were 20 years old. And so I'm like, you've got to sort of explain to people that, for instance, no one had a cell phone in while they were making this film. So. Or like they probably had, probably 2 people had cell phones and they were the size of a shoebox, basically. And so if they wanted to know, for example, what the weather was going to be like that afternoon, then they would have to, the person who had a cell phone, had some sort of cell phone, would have to call like their production office, and their production office would then have to call the, what we would call the Met office, who are the people who would know the, what the weather's going to be like. And so it would be this extraordinarily long process because you couldn't call the Met office on a cell phone. And it's all this stuff that, and you know, Edgar talking about as a kid, if he wanted to watch Piranha, for instance, Joe Dante's great sort of horror comedy Piranha, then he would have to wait all year until that turned up, you know, on his TV at 3 in the morning. And then he'd have to stay up and watch it because he didn't have a video recorder. And it's this sort of like stuff that obviously I know that, but I think, you know, you're having to sort of explain this to younger readers and you know, hoping it kind of blows their mind a little bit about, you know, because nowadays it's all at our fingertips. And, you know, when Edgar or I grew up, it couldn't have been farther away from our fingertips.
This has been awesome. I sincerely hope we hear more from you very, very soon. Hot Fuzz is another huge favorite of mine. So, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if there's ever a follow-up, we'd love to talk to you about that as well.
We'll see. I would love to. I mean, I will say that at the end of the book, I kind of run through briefly their subsequent careers, because I wanted to sort of end it with, well, I didn't want to end it, but I felt it sort of had to end. I had to go up with the pandemic, because the pandemic was then, you know, something that people were turning to or referencing Shaun of the Dead quite a lot. But thank you so much for having me on. If I may be so mercenary, I feel obliged to, all my publisher will shoot me, to point out that you can pre-order. You've got Red on you via or anywhere that you can pre-order things.
Of course. So once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. My librarian co-host was?
It's a Sharon, and
our guest was?
Oh, yes, me. You. Sorry, I beg your pardon. It's weird because I do love the sound of my name. My name is Clark Collis. Author of, and now I can't even remember. You've got Red on you.
We are going to close this chapter. Thank you so much.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.